Here he goes. He walks there in front of Dak Prescott. Did he spit? Did he spit on him? I think he did. There you go. There you go. And the official was right there to throw the flag.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Femi Ebebefe hanging out with you guys here on this Friday. That sound, obviously, courtesy of NBC. Mike Tirico on the call of last night's Cowboys-Eagles game. Did he spit? He did, Mike. He did spit on Dak Prescott, which is just an inexplicable thing to do, not just on a football field, but in any walk of life. Like, anybody out there listening or watching, somebody does that to you, like, you're throwing hands. Like that's how that goes. And Jalen Carter decided to do that because he's an idiot and got himself ejected prior to the first play of the game. But 40 minutes from now, we'll hear from Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Cowboys-Eagles game from last night. I'm sure Nick will be out there fired up because he was on the over just like I was. 41 points at halftime, 44 at the end of the game. Can't make some of this stuff. But hey, that's how it goes sometimes in the National Football League. 20 minutes from now, we'll break down some of the marquee games on the Sunday slate in the NFL. Sunday Night Football, Bills hosting the Ravens. You got the Lions at the Packers. How about the game in LA, Texans at the Rams? That might not be like the big marquee. That's two division winners from last year. That's a really fun game, Texans and the Rams. Two teams that want to take that next step after being knocked out in the divisional round last year. But we'll get into all the marquee games, injury news, best bets from Tyler as well before we wrap up the hour. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday here at 3:20 Eastern time, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, what's going on? How we doing? What were your thoughts watching last night's game? Eagles outlast the Cowboys 24-20.
Well, look, I will say this. The game was entertaining on multiple levels for me from a football standpoint, but I placed one wager on that game, Femi, just one. I didn't want to go crazy opening night. I'm going to have plenty on the action on Sunday. Just the over was too good. I said, of course this over is going to hit. Look at this Dallas defense, the Eagles, the CD and Pickens. It was a no-brainer. Certainly felt good in the third quarter, and Mother Nature had the under. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, like I said, Mother Nature, CeeDee Lamb, it was the whole thing combined. They had the under, like literally 41 points. Like the things that have to happen for that to go under the total, it's just absurd. And I saw people who bet the under last night being like, well, worst bet of the night. Like they already chalked it up as a loser. Like imagine like going to sleep during the lightning delay because it was an hour. I wouldn't blame anyone on the East Coast for going to bed during that. Like imagine waking up and being like, wait, I won? Like, you know, it's like found money. It's like you found 20 bucks in your pocket with dirty laundry. Like it's absurd. But hey,
it
you know what?
Absolutely crazy. Move on. And family, I do have to ask you one other question. As someone who follows the Bears closely, and now you have Matt Eberflus as your defensive coordinator. And I warned you about this a couple weeks ago. I said, enjoy those soft zones on third down, buddy. Did you enjoy those soft zones on third down?
I mean, like, it took the guy like 2.5 quarters just to send a blitz. We're not gonna spy Jalen Hurts. The last play of the game, at least like offensively for the Eagles, where it's like 3rd and 3. No, but it's empty. 33 on empty. Do we really think the Eagles are going to throw the football here? Like, come on. It hurts his running 100%. Nope. No spy. Let's just let him pick up the first down. Fly, Eagles, fly. Like, come on, dude. I thought there were some bright spots from Eberflus because once he started throwing some blitzes, like, Hurts was not expecting it. And he did so throw some stuff out there that was different. But for the most part, yeah, left a little bit to be desired
for a guy. For a good Flus. Defensive core, yeah. For a good defensive coordinator, he leaves a lot of head scratchers out there.
It's utterly ridiculous. And now, hey, we got to look forward to the New York Giants. Get to the game planning. Start to the all 22 of what the G-men are going to bring to Texas next Sunday. But enough of that. Let's get to the top stories that we have here on this Friday. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, what we have, Femi, is a glorious night of back-to-back NFL Island games. Yes, the NFL is back on tonight. It's the Kansas City Chiefs and the LA Chargers from Brazil. It's on YouTube. First ever game on YouTube. Femi, Chiefs are currently a three-point favorite over at BetMGM. Those total points are at 47.5. How are the people betting this one?
Yeah, this is a really, really fun game. I think a very fascinating game, not just because, like last night, it's another divisional game. And like last night should be the prime example. Hey, like you get teams that have some familiarity and that hate each other. It might not go how you think it is in terms of like, oh, the Eagles are way better than the Cowboys. Yeah, they are much better than the Cowboys. But then look at what happens last night. Dallas was able to hang in there, and there's an argument to be made that Dallas should have won the game. Is that going to play out tonight? I don't know, because it's a little bit of a different dynamic. This game is not in a home stadium. This game is over in Brazil on maybe an ice rink, as we saw last year between the Packers and the Eagles. Like, that surface is going to be a big-time storyline in this game, because last season, like, we saw both of those teams, Eagles and the Packers, put up a boatload of points. And this total has continued to get bet to the over. It's going up and up and up and up and up. We're all the way up to 47.5 after being 44 earlier this summer. Now, the Chiefs are holding steady as a three-point favorite. My belief with this game, I think Kansas City is going to look to flex their muscles and remind everyone they're the team that runs the AFC West. Like, I think Kansas City is going to win the game. However, like, I have to also keep this into consideration. The Super Bowl loser hangover is real. Whether it's anecdotally or factually, like, this is a real deal thing. Like, get this. Over, like, I saw these ATS stats from earlier this summer. Teams that lost the Super Bowl are 6-17 against the spread in week one. And I think a lot of that makes sense, because if you think about those teams, like, oh, you went all the way to the Super Bowl, couldn't quite get there, but you're a really, really good team. People think highly of you. People think that you're going to be a contender once again. So you tend to be a little bit overvalued to start the season. And then the market starts to catch up to, okay, like, maybe this is not going to be what it was previously. 6-17 against the spread. You look at that trend, it probably doesn't want to make you bet the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, that's ATS. The way I want to bet this game, I just want to bet Kansas City to win. So I think I'm going to end up on Kansas City money line. I'm still going back and forth. Haven't placed the bet yet because I'm just curious to see if people are going to continue to bet that Super Bowl loser hangover. Right now, the cheapest money line price that I can find is minus 160. Do we ever get a minus 155? Do we ever get a minus 150? Does this ever come off three? I don't know. We're going to find out over the next 4 hours or so. But I think this is a really, really fun game. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds. But right now, I think I'm just going to have to end up on the Kansas City Chiefs. But as for what everyone else is betting tonight in Brazil, 67% of the bets, 67% of the handle is on the Chiefs laying the three. 52% of bets, 55% of the handle is on under 46.5. And think about what I just said. The over has been getting bet. So a lot of those tickets, again, that negative CLV, the market is moving against them. 52% of the bets are on Chiefs money line, but 55% of the handle is on the Chargers money line at the plus money price. As for the popular player props, fifth most popular, Isaiah Pacheco, under 11.5 rushing attempts. Fourth most popular, Keenan Allen, over 3.5 receptions. Third most popular, Omarion Hampton, over 11.5 rushing attempts. Second most popular, Ladd McConkey, over 5.5 receptions. And the most popular player prop over at BetMGM, where we make it legendary, Keenan Allen, over 37.5 receiving yards. Most popular anytime TD score, Isaiah Pacheco at plus 190, which, according to the reporting at a Chiefs training camp, sounds like Pacheco might be back after having the broken leg last season. But once again, for me, I'm going to be on Kansas City to win the game, because I don't think we're ever going to get to 3.5. At 3.5, I'd be interested in the Chargers, but I think the Chiefs win close, so I'm just going to bet them on the money line. Bill, hit me with the next story.
All right, Femi, last night, many fantasy football players had heart attacks in unison when Christian McCaffrey appeared on the 49ers injury report with a calf injury. Now, one thing we've learned this entire year is how often calf injuries lead to Achilles issues. C-Mac, of course, has had Achilles issues in the past. It's kept him out of a lot of games. So everyone's holding their collective breath here, Femi, especially 49ers fans. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero did say that this injury is not, quote, DEFCON 1, but Femi, I don't know how this doesn't get you at least a little concerned about C-Mac's 2025 season.
Yeah, until Tom Pelissero. Is it DeCon 1.5? Because that's where the point spread is now. this is a big concern. Last year, we did this dance going into week one. We all remember Jets at Niners, Monday Night Football. Like, Christian McCaffrey should be able to play. You know, he has this heel injury is what they were calling it. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, he's inactive. He's not playing. And then later on the next week, oh, he's going to go on short-term IR. He's about to miss the next four games. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but like, it's a lower leg injury. It's a calf injury for a running back. You plant the wrong way or put a little bit too much stress on that calf, that thing might pop. And like, we all have seen it. Worst case scenarios can happen, as we saw through the NBA playoffs and we've seen in other sports as well. You have to be concerned if you're a 49ers fan or a 49ers backer. Me personally, it might be over for Christian McCaffrey, which sucks to say out loud because he is so fun to watch and he's such a damn good football player. But like, this thing might be over. Like, this is now a second year where we have injury concerns and the Niners are listing him as questionable and they might try to gloss over and say, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Bro, how are we not expected to think that this is bad after what happened last year? I would be highly, highly concerned. The betting market's highly concerned. Once again, it's 1.5 at BetMGM. I'm even looking at a pretty sharp sportsbook here in Las Vegas that has it down to 1. If McCaffrey gets ruled out, are we going to pick? Is the Seahawks 1? I think the Seahawks have a chance to close as the favorite in this game. Would I be jamming in Seattle with my own money? Not necessarily. I think it's a coin flip game either way. The betting market has a price that way. But I really do not like this setup or San Francisco. And if somebody forced me to pick this game, I would actually pick the Seahawks to win it. And I'm saying that as somebody who is out on Seattle this year. I don't believe in the offense. The defense, yeah, there's some upside, but I don't believe in the offense whatsoever, given the fact that Sam Darnold is the quarterback. So I think if you're San Francisco, it's a complete pass if you want to bet that side. If you want to bet Seattle, time to bet it was probably last night when it was 2.5 or 2. But I think we're going to end up seeing McCaffrey on the sidelines. And for those of you who own Brian Robinson Jr. in your fantasy lineups, you're probably going to benefit in week one because I'm assuming he's going to get a bulk of the workload at running back for the 49ers come Sunday. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Let's switch over to the WNBA here, Femi, because we have not one but two stories from the W, because last night, the Aces beat the Lynx in a marquee matchup, 97-87. Asia Wilson had 31 points in the win. And Femi, with that performance, she is now the betting favorite to win WNBA MVP.
Yeah, how quickly this thing has turned, huh? 2 days ago, Nafisa Collier, minus 1,200. 2 days ago. And wow. Now Nafisa Collier can be had for plus 102. This has been happening for 3 weeks now. I talked about it on the show yesterday. This started when the Lynx blew out the Aces by 53 points. But unfortunately, in that game, Collier injured her ankle. And ever since that happened, Asia Wilson, we bet the Aces last night. Because I'm like, dude, I've been seeing some of these games. She's got that look. She looks determined. And she says, I will drag everyone on my team to the finish line. If it kills me, I'm doing it. And I said, all right, I'm going to keep betting on that team. And guess what? They won again last night. And she was amazing in the game. And it wasn't just the fact that she was amazing. There's a few clips out there that have been circulating across social media. She was taking it to Collier, man. And Collier is known as one of the better defenders in the league. She was going to the rack and won all this stuff. The whole arsenal was on display by Asia Wilson. And now, because we all know recency bias always plays a factor into this award, a lot of people are talking about it. Hey, has Asia Wilson walked down Nafisa Collier? This whole season has been MVP as Nafisa Collier is in pursuit of her first MVP. Asia Wilson's already won the award 3 times. She's going for a 4th one. And voter fatigue factors in, but damn, man, they're on a 13-game win streak. This team was left for dead after that 53-point loss. There were 500. Now they have the second-best record in the league because they're absolutely on fire due to their best player playing like the best player in the world like she is. So from a betting standpoint right now, what would I do? I wouldn't do anything. I think now it's hunting and gathering season. There's 1 week left in the WNBA season. September 11th is the season finale. Like, you need to be reading and listening to everything that people are saying, because our opinions no longer matter at this juncture. Now it's all the people who vote who matter. And if they're telling you it's either Asia Wilson or Nafisa Collier, I would then bet accordingly. But right now, it's shaping up to be a little similar to what we saw with the NFL MVP with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Collier playing the Josh Allen role. Has she done enough to fend off Asia Wilson? We'll find out in about a week or so. But boy, last night was a wrench in the plans of the MVP campaign. Bill, hit me with the last one before we head to break.
All right, Femi, it's Caitlin Clark. She's only played 13 games this season, hasn't played since July 15th, and last night we learned she is, in fact, out for the rest of the season. Femi, it's been a killer for the WNBA not having Clark in the fold, but the league will march on without her the rest of the way.
Yeah, this was brutal. This is brutal for the Indiana Fever, and like right now they're holding on dearly for that eighth seed in the WNBA playoffs. Even if they make the playoffs, I mean, like, what do you really expect? And, like, that's not to throw shade at the rest of the roster. Kelsey Mitchell's been really awesome for the Fever, kind of putting herself on that echelon of one of the better players in the WNBA. But, I mean, it is an absolute bummer on what should have been a title-contending season for the Indiana Fever, led by Caitlin Clark, the biggest face in the entire league. We'll see what 2026 has in store, but I think it's a good move for Indiana. Just shut her down and not have anything disastrous happen the rest of the way. All right, on the other side, we'll get to the marquee games this weekend in the National Football League.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.